Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai. Sri Uddhava said, "You may take lessons from the great learned sage Maitreya, who is nearby and who is worshipable for reception of transcendental knowledge. He was directly instructed by the personality of Godhead while he was about to quit this mortal world. Purport. Although one may be well versed in the transcendental science, one should be careful about the offense of maryada vyatikrama, or impertinently surpassing a greater personality. According to scriptural injunction, one should be very careful of transgressing the law of maryada vyatikrama, because by so doing, one loses his duration of life, his opulence, fame, and piety, and the blessings of all the world. To be well-versed in the transcendental science necessitates awareness of the techniques of spiritual science. Uddhava, being well aware of all these technicalities of transcendental science, advised Vidura to approach Maitreya Rishi to receive transcendental knowledge. Vidura wanted to accept Uddhava as his spiritual master, but Uddhava did not accept the post, because Vidura was as old as Uddhava's father, and therefore Uddhava could not accept him as his disciple, especially when Maitreya was present nearby. The rule is that in the presence of a higher personality, one should not be very eager to impart instructions, even if one is competent and well-versed. So Uddhava decided to send an elderly person like Vidura to Maitreya, another elderly person, but he was well-versed, also because he was directly instructed by the Lord while he was about to quit this mortal world. Since both Uddhava and Maitreya were directly instructed by the Lord, both had the authority to become the spiritual master of Vidura or anyone else, but Maitreya, being elderly, had the first claim to becoming the spiritual master, especially for Vidura, who was much older than Uddhava. One should not be eager to become a spiritual master cheaply for the sake of profit and fame, but should become a spiritual master only for the service of the Lord. The Lord never tolerates the impertinence of maryada vratikrama. One should never pass over the honor due to an elderly spiritual master in the interest of one's own personal gain and fame. Impertinence on the part of the pseudo-spiritual master is very risky to progressive spiritual realization." Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sahadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radha Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Nama Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So again, thank you very much for allowing me to do this little service of commenting of Bhagavad Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, and also hoping that by your blessings I'll manage to, by Krishna's mercy, to inspire you and help somehow in for all of us to connect more with Krishna and have a joyful journey in Krishna consciousness every day. So I would like to start with Srila Prabhupada's purport here. There is like two things I would like to discuss today and pay attention to. Of course, every word of Srimad Bhagavatam, every shloka could be discussed for days and days, but don't worry, you're fortunate. I only got like 30 minutes, so you won't be there too long. In this case, we have one part is that Uddhava, although Vidura requested him to accept position of his guru, Uddhava declined politely by saying there is another devotee who is my senior in age and more similar age to you, so please go to him. And with this, Srila Prabhupada mentions the reason why he did it is because he wanted to avoid the offense called maryada vyatikrama, or impertinently surpassing a greater personality. I did a little bit of research on the actual words, maryada vyatikrama, which effectively means overstepping the boundaries or overstepping the limits. I just felt when we talk about something, especially for myself, I like to understand the meaning of the words and what actually, how that relates to the subject we're discussing. In that respect, when we speak about maryada vyatikrama, it sounds like kind of quite heavy, because Prabhupada says if you commit this offense, if you do this, you're going to lose duration of life and Krishna will not forgive. So it's a very powerful statement there by Srila Prabhupada. And he also, as I recall, mentions that to avoid this thing, we need to be versatile and knowledgeable about the spiritual science and techniques, how to apply that science. Like being a devotee doesn't just mean we are here, we are doing something, but actually means consciously making conscious effort to understand the principles of bhakti and how do we apply it in everyday's life. So it's very easy, we can talk philosophy, but very often, like Srila Prabhupada says, being versatile in the science, he uses twice the word science. Veda means science, knowledge. So it's taking a little bit away from like being just happy and like, yeah, Krishna. So it's kind of, there is some sort of anchor to our path in Krishna consciousness, which is fairly heartfelt, and there is a reason for that. What implies here, with going back to the maryada vyatikrama, or overstepping the boundaries, is not just like overlooking senior devotees or talking that we shouldn't perhaps, but it also means that in our everyday life, overstepping boundaries of Krishna's laws and Vedas every day in our lives, like material world we live in, we constantly overstep the boundaries. We are not doing what we are supposed to do. We don't do seva. There is billions of people live on this planet, and most of the activities are against the law of nature or the law of karma. And what to speak about the law of devotional service, if I can even say, like I'm using word law just to stay in the same trajectory. So the importance of this is to bring it down to what does it really mean to us in our everyday's life, because sometimes talking philosophy could be very much out there somewhere and like a concept of how to actually practice it is somewhat left behind, like getting into more details. So what I would like to first say here is, with this, with overstepping the boundaries, we have this experience every day, isn't it? Sometimes we feel somebody oversteps boundaries in our life next to us, or somebody says something we don't like, and we feel that they're overstepping their boundaries by talking to us the way we don't like, maybe. So this mood of overstepping boundaries is literally happening 24/7. So how do we avoid doing it for ourselves? And and in that way enhancing our spiritual life and making better progress. Because if we accept this is a hindrance, right, do we all agree there is a problem if we overstep the boundaries? But we do it anyway, right, sometimes. So what's the consequence of that? Usually we don't feel happy, and most of the time we blame others for it. Isn't it? When something happens we don't like, when we feel boundaries are overstepped, most of the time, that yeah, but if only this person didn't do this, I wouldn't react like that. Isn't it? We have that cause and effect mode when we try to flick the blame on somebody and just sort of feel, but you know, I'm okay, but you know, I wouldn't do it unless somebody else. So we kind of create that chain of flicking the guilt or responsibility to other people. Bad news is that Srila Prabhupada very clearly explains here that at the end of the day, knowing the science and techniques how to practice is down to us. And that means every day when we have this situation, instead of trying to think somebody else has done something wrong, we can use it as opportunity to reflect on ourselves and think, what can I do from this situation that I can apply that will bring me closer to Krishna, that will align me more with the Krishna consciousness and with the principles of bhakti? Does that make sense? I need to wake you up a bit. So does it make sense? Yes or no? Yes, okay. So do you have any example from the Shastra when a devotee overstep the boundaries? There is lots of stories in Bhagavatam. Now I will see who is actually reading Bhagavatam. But if anybody could kindly... Yeah, Govinda Prabhu.
Indra neglected to offer respects to Brihaspati. That's one example.
So what happened to him?
He received lots of sin, which he then distributed to various persons and things. But... he lost his position. And there are several stories. I can't remember exactly the details. One of them is hiding in a piece of bamboo or something. So, But there's part one and part two for the same story.
Okay, nice. Any more?
When Balaram walked into assembly where Ramaharshan Sutta was giving class, and Ramaharshan Sutta didn't acknowledge him, and Balaram killed him.
Yeah, okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Durvasa Muni, when he offended Ambarish Maharaj, I tried to kill him. And then Vishnu's Sudarshan Chakra tried to also kill Durvasa Muni.
So what happened there? Interesting point was that even Lord Vishnu couldn't save him. What was the solution there? Sorry. What happened
to
there?
To beg forgiveness from the pure devotee.
From the person. He committed offense against more Prabhus. And Mataji is there? Awake.
Parikshit Maharaj putting the snake over Sringi, and then he was cursed to die.
Yep. His duration of life definitely went down to 7 days.
Jagdanand Pandit instructing Sanatan Goswami to return to Vrindavan from Puri. And at that time, Lord Chaitanya chastised him, Kalikar Batwa, you are yesterday's kid. How come you are instructing your elder Sanatan Goswami.
Anyone from there? It's okay. It's a family. It's a family gathering. Feel free to speak. Just relax. I'm a bit old and my hearing
sorry,
is...
Sorry. I don't remember the name, but is somebody that started to laugh when Shiva, I think, had in her leg his wife in front of all the sages.
Parvati was sitting on his lap, yes.
In front of all the sages. And she started to laugh.
Yeah.
No?
Yes. Yeah, so he didn't understand the position of Lord Shiva and Parvati at all. He saw them as mundane husband and wife.
Yes.
That was the bad luck for him. So now we see, This is just something to bring importance of reading Srimad Bhagavatam daily. You see all these stories, you see beautiful stories, they're all examples of the knowledge and what not to do most of the time, as well as what to do, how to positively engage in Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna consciousness is real, Krishna is real. Those personalities are real, that really happened. So what the mistakes they've made serve to us as a reminder, hey, first of all, yeah, we make mistakes, not end of the world, because somebody who is way more powerful than us did it, right? But also it gives us the way out. It shows us what happened to that person and also what was the solution of that problem. So it gives us hope that, yes, we can make mistakes, but we need to understand, what shall I do so I don't repeat this the next time? And that responsibility is down to us. The whole world could be against us. Everything, the world can crumble, but at the end of the day, responsibility for our spiritual life and our progress lies within ourselves, and of course mercy of Krishna, but mercy will not come if we don't make the effort. We all know that. That's another story with Damodar Leela, that effort and mercy come hand to hand. We need both. Now with this in the same mood, let's say, this happens, so great personalities committed offenses, wrong things happen. What does the great personality do when somebody, you know, transgress the boundaries? So I will tell you one story which I really, really love. It's about when Lord Chaitanya, he was about 16 years of age and he was known as a pandit. He didn't take sannyas at the time, but he was very scholarly and he was defeating everyone. However, in Navadvip, there was a scholar called Keshava Kashmiri. So Keshava Kashmiri, his followers heard of Lord Chaitanya and they were like, how is this boy like so popular? And they sort of thought it was a job done. If Keshava Kashmiri meets with Lord Chaitanya, he will just defeat him. So what they've done, they went to the Lord Chaitanya accepted the invitation. And as they sat at the bank of the Ganges River, Keshava Kashmiri composed 100 shlokas, 100 verses glorifying Mother Ganga. Now, Keshava Kashmiri was a very favored follower, a disciple of Mother Sarasvati, who is goddess of knowledge. And literally, that's why nobody could defeat him. He had a full blessing, literally. I mean, when you read the Sanskrit, if any of you see like this word by word translation, Sanskrit is, I mean, I'm not a scholar and I've probably never been that to that level, but I know of the difficulties of Sanskrit, that each word can be interpreted in so many different ways depending what's behind it, what's in front. It's extremely complex. You have to be really, really intelligent to write shlokas in Sanskrit. And never mind to just compose them on the spot, like hundreds of them. So as he was reciting them, Lord Chaitanya was like, wow, like, yeah, you know, he was sort of glorified. But there was a dint of sarcasm in Lord Chaitanya there, because Keshava Kashmiri was extremely proud of his learning. And sitting in front of this boy, he was just like, oh, you know, look at me, I'm so good. Look at 100 verses, da, 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 da. This boy, he won't know what hit him. He won't know what hit him. Once I'm done, he will be just like, he's going to walk away. And Lord Chaitanya was like, yeah, this is amazing. So when he was finished, Lord Chaitanya looked at him and he repeated all 100 shlokas. And Keshava Kashmiri was like, how? I just literally composed this and this child, this boy, just repeated every single shloka, every verse, no mistake. And then he goes, but what's happening? So, well, how was it then? What do you say? And Lord Chaitanya goes, I think it was shloka 64. There is 5 faults there. And 5... My first language is not English, but there is things that you put next to the word to make the word like makes a meaning. So he said 5 these things were wrong and there was 5 other mistakes. And then he went on to explain. Anyway, by doing so, he actually defeated Keshava Kashmiri because he sort of left him speechless. And Keshava Kashmiri was like, internally, we've seen, Mother Saraswati, what happened here? Why did you abandon me in my hour of need? Am I not so special? Is this boy? This is just a boy. Look what he's done. How? But then also Keshava Kashmiri, of course, he was extremely advanced and intelligent. He could understand if somebody managed to defeat him, de facto they defeated Mother Saraswati. And who can defeat Mother Saraswati other than somebody who is the Supreme Lord himself? So through this pastime, he accepted the Lord. But one important point, what I've heard now, continuation, it was from His Holiness Srila Jayapataka Maharaj. He gave a class on this, and he explained what happened in the background, and this is now what's relevant about the story. Keshava Kashmiri was effectively transgressing against the Lord himself. And Lord had every right to, tell him off, basically. He could have done... He's telling off now. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. So the Lord... what the Lord did was something quite amazing, and this is something that we should remember. Lord Chaitanya had every right to embarrass Keshava Kashmiri. Lord Chaitanya had every right to just tell him, what do you know? But what he did, what followed the conversation when Lord Chaitanya explained the faults of the verse, happened in private. He did all of that on the Ganges, on the bank of the Ganges, in private. He explained all the faults, he explained everything to him, he made a few jokes in all of that, but it was in private. And the point I'm trying to make here is, Lord Chaitanya gave example, because even if Keshava Kashmiri transgressed, he overstepped the boundaries big time, Lord Chaitanya didn't go in front of all of Navadvip, hey, you know what? This Keshava Kashmiri, oh my goodness, those verses, I just defeated him. He didn't want to embarrass him. And this is a very important point in dealing with the Vaishnavas, and not just Vaishnavas, any human being, any living entity. It's to be conscious of how we, what we say, how it affects another person. Yes, maybe somebody did something bad, but how do we speak to that person? How do we correct? Is really, really important. Because if in our mind is revenge, that's not going to end up well. Then we are not really representing Srila Prabhupada. We are not really representing the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. We are not really representing Bhagavad. We are not really living what we are practicing. Right? Did you have any time happen that you're like, okay, be honest. Who's going to be honest here? Who lost the temper when somebody did something wrong? How did you feel when you lost afterwards? Was it good feeling? Was it like, wow, I want to do this all the time? Or did you feel like maybe I overreacted? Was it overreaction? Or was it something you were like, 20, instead of japa, I'm going to do 16 times a day this? It doesn't give good feeling. Why? Because what happens is in the mode of passion and ignorance. The point is when somebody does transgress, if we are in position to correct, we need to think about how will my correction benefit the person in question? How will what I say actually help this person understand what they've done was wrong, and what will inspire them to understand it themselves and not do this again? Because that's the goal, isn't it? We don't want somebody repeating the mistake. We want, like any one of you have children, who have anybody you're responsible for, any close friends, anybody you're taking care of, if you're a mentor, if you're a parent, if you're a boss at the company, The principle is the same. In your mind, you need to be conscious. It's a Krishna consciousness, conscious of Krishna, meaning being conscious that that spirit soul is also part and parcel of Krishna. He is making tons of mistakes. Well, so am I. I mean, let's be honest here. Who is free from faults? Yet when the occasion happens, we are very quick to react and to feel like I have right to tell somebody else how bad their mistakes were, which is also okay, but only if the well-being and benefit of that person is in our hearts. So maybe sometimes if you feel like correcting, maybe count to 10 and leave it for another time, or leave it when you actually think about what shall I say to this person to help them. It's such an important thing. I know I might be going on about this a lot, but in Association of Devotees, we have senior devotees, junior devotees, devotees of all sorts. But it's really important to that those qualities, that we live those qualities, that we apply those qualities and we practice them every day. None of us will wake up one morning and just be like, oh, I'm so good now. I'm so equipoised and transcendental. Nothing disturbs me. I'm so in love with Krishna. Nothing bothers me. It's not going to happen like that. What happens is by practicing, like Prabhupada says, it's a science of application, learning the science of this Krishna consciousness, how to apply techniques. So techniques, when you bring them down to this, our level, means practicing tolerance, practicing compassion, practicing thinking of others more than we think of ourselves. And the reason why I'm talking about this, because this is like an antidote for this offense, for this overstepping boundaries. So if you wonder like, well, you're not going to be thinking every day, oh, am I doing this offense today or not? Because there is so many things in Krishna consciousness, it's so overwhelming at the times that there is so many rules and stuff. But this is one of the common things that we can apply every single day, and our lives will be so much nicer and better. We're going to be happier. Why? Because we will be, instead of being people who are critical and not nice, we're going to become people who are helpful, supportive, and creates the energy that attracts Krishna more. It creates the mode of goodness. From the mode of goodness, we can move further to the level of bhakti. Unless we come to that level, we can't really move to the level of bhakti. So it's important that our conduct of behavior and how we interact with each other is up to standard. And if it's not the end of the world. We slip, pick ourselves up, think about, okay, I made a mistake, apologize. It's the most difficult world in the universe, isn't it? I am sorry. Who finds it difficult to say sorry? Isn't it? It's so difficult because we know we hurt someone, and that's why it's difficult, because we know that our sorry won't really remove the hurt, but it can buy us forgiveness. And again, by creating negativity to other devotees and other people in general, we are hindering our own progress. So, in effect, we are our own worst enemy by doing these things. Any more examples from Bhagavatam about behavior? Okay, let's switch to the positive. Any forgiveness in Bhagavatam? Did anybody forgive anyone and show kindness after they got mistakenly hurt? I'll help you here. Well, Lord Krishna, he forgave Indra when Indra sent clouds to Vrindavan when he tried to kill all his friends. Krishna could just smite him, like, how dare you? But what Krishna did, Lord Indra understood his fault, his mistake. He said sorry. He recited beautiful prayers to the Lord. And the Lord forgave him. He smiled and he said, okay, don't do it again. Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
Vishwamitra was continually harassing and offending Vashistha Muni, and Vashistha Muni did have the power to, you know, chastise him, but he just forgave him on numerous occasions. And eventually Vishwamitra learned the errors of his ways and then submitted to Vashistha Muni.
That's good. Anyone else?
Lord Shiva, he forgave King Daksha after being insulted, and then they continued with the sacrifice.
Yeah, he forgave him, although his wife perished as a consequence. But yes, he did, because Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. He can be easily pleased, but he can also easily get angry. We like the compassionate aspect of Lord Shiva more. So, yes, Prabhu.
It was there was this King Rahugana, and Jad Bharat, he got employed to be his palanquin carrier. So the king was on the palanquin, and he was one of the four people. But because of he was avoiding ants, stepping on ants on the floor, then it was a bumpy ride for King Rahugana. And so then he was being angry with Jad Bharat, but then Jad Bharat started to speak to him about transcendental knowledge, and then the king realized. So Jad Bharat was obviously, he didn't take offense. You know, he forgave him and he gave him transcendental knowledge. And then King Rahugana, you know, realized that, you know, that Jad Bharat was a, you know, fully self-realized soul.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, that's a very, very powerful story as well, because Jad Bharat looked like he pretended to be a person like with no intelligence or nothing, and people treated him as such, but that was in purpose. But at the same time, when he finally started speaking, you know, he revealed his true identity as a great devotee of the Lord, and he was very he was accepted as such by the king. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, we got two more.
I can't remember exactly, but Draupadi and Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama killed five of her sons, beheaded them. And then because she knew the pain a mother would feel for losing her child, so instead of Arjuna was about to kill him, Draupadi said, no, another woman shouldn't feel the same pain that I went through. So don't deprive a mother of her son like that.
That's powerful. As a mother, I cannot understand. I mean, that was a tough one to understand, to forgive that for for somebody killing your children. Anyway, one day I might understand it better. But thank you. That's a powerful one. There was one more, Prabhu, there.
Narada Muni was cursed by Daksha when Daksha was great in progeny to help with the universe, and then Daksha said you should have no residence again, and Narada Muni didn't counteract, but he was very happy because it was helpful for his type of life, in that sense.
Sure. So I just wonder, because time is getting on, so I'm just going to conclude with a couple of verses here that you can take a note if you like. Because this is, one is, of course, we know Shikshashtaka verse, third, Trinadapi Sunichana verse, which you can look up. And the one I want to actually just read the translation of is the one from the Nectar of Instructions by Srila Rupa Goswami. It's verse number 5. Those of you who are studying it, you will know which one I'm talking about, but I would like to read it because this is, again, something practical, how to conduct ourselves in association of devotees and in general. I always say in general because it doesn't mean we only respect the devotees and then we go on, oh, these karmis, oh my God, look at them. I've seen it so many times. So please don't be that devotee. Don't be that devotee thinking I'm so special and superior to other living entities because 5 minutes ago we were all there. So let's not forget where we all come from. And actually understand that all living entities are Krishna's indeed, and we are here to help, to serve them, not to judge them. And in that mood, so verse number 5, take notice of that, which goes, one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshipping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. So if you ever wonder how you're going to know who is the superior to you, this last part will tell you. Who is devoid of propensity to criticize others and who practices undeviated devotional service. So to understand this, we have to we also have to learn what is actually devotional service and how to practice it. And then everything will be fine. We have knowledge, then we practice it, and we keep going no matter what, because that's what life is about, learning and growing. And to finally just conclude with this, to leave you with something to take home, is that everything that happens ultimately happens for us, not to us. So sometimes bad things happen to us, but if we can change, don't say it's happening to me, it's happening for me, in the sense that we can take something good from it, even if it's bad. It's a learning process, it's a school of life. So don't get down, don't get depressed, don't feel it's end of the world, but feel this happened for a reason and there is something for me to learn. And if you do that, this is like, I like mathematics, so this is like a formula. This will guarantee you success in spiritual life. This attitude to try to work on yourself and and gain and apply everything in Krishna's service and in your progress in Krishna consciousness will guarantee you success. Why? Because when we are growing, we are not dying. You know, it says you're either gliding or sliding down. You're either climbing or sliding. So the moment we stop working, the moment we stop thinking I'm done now, that moment we are going down like on a rope. Yeah. So you have to keep moving forward, right? And the second thing which goes with it is contribution or service, means whatever you have, engage it in somehow in service to Krishna. And even if that means serving other devotees, helping, supporting, use whatever talent you've got to do good for others. And this is not a sentimental thing. This is actually a practical thing, because what we're going to, a whole life, we are dasa or dasis, right? Servants. So practicing means serving everyone, not just Krishna, but all those who are dear to Krishna as well. Okay? So in that mood, I leave you with those thoughts, and I hope you have a very good and joyful Krishna conscious life. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Any questions? Maybe a few minutes? Comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Sorry, I know we are over time, but just a quick question. In the beginning, you mentioned that
you had done some research on this word, Maryada Vratikrama, right?
Yes, I tried.
So I also spent a lot of time trying to find out what's the source reference of this word. Mm-hmm. Never found anything, at least in Srila Prabhupada's books. And even in Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this verse, there's nothing. So did you manage to find anything?
I just Googled it, and it comes Wisdom Library. And it just says Sanskrit glossary, and it says overstepping limits. That's all I did. And I also, admittedly, I also listened to some classes from other devotees on this verse as well. And Vaisheshika Prabhu mentions it, so I trust that he must have done also lots of research on that. And any Sanskrit scholars can maybe chip in here. But, you know, Prabhupada already explained it. This was just more to understand about the crossing over the boundaries. I mean, Vaisheshika Prabhu goes into more details, which I didn't want to get into, but he actually mentions that actually means not just stepping over the boundaries, but really stepping over the boundaries, like a big time stepping over, overstepping, yeah? So that was like his explanation. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, I mean, the very last thing you said, I mean, if krama means step, ati krama means big step, and viati would mean even bigger.
Yeah.
So works that way.
Yeah, big time overstepping, so we don't want that.
It's like Trivikram, three big steps, so it's a bit like that.
Thank you, Prabhu. Okay, any comments, anything I can do better next time? Anybody wants to say? Prabhu? Tell me what you didn't like.
It's something my mother said to me. There was this person who was bullying. He liked bullying. And people became frightened. I told my mother about this, you know, he's bullying me. And she said, actually, you should feel sorry for him because he doesn't know any better.
Oh.
And usually what happens, because he's been brought up in such a way where people are afraid, like himself was afraid of his parents, he passed on, it was passed on. In other words, he was reacting. He thought that whatever his father may have done to him was actually done out of ignorance, because he was bullied.
Yeah.
He just copy.
True.
It's passed down the line. And so he said, my mother said, you should feel sorry for him because he doesn't know any better.
Your mother was a very wise person. Definitely, because that's what our teachings are, to try to understand other person. Yeah. It's difficult when we are on the receiving end. It's not easy to just be tolerant, but I mean, even just driving on the road, right? You drive and somebody cut you off, the true nature just comes, oh, it's like road rage. I can see everybody smiling. I got it right, right? Yeah. Driving. So the day when you drive and just go, I'm calm, that's the day you can say, I made some progress. Okay, Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you so much for tolerating me, and all the best. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol.